all I know about it. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy and our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. God, we ask for your grace and peace now. For we do live in a troubled world when there is hatred and anger and envy and mistrust and confusion that we have no other reason except to blame it on the devil himself trying to destroy the church and your people. So give us your grace and forgiveness. Give us strength to overcome it. Let us bring peace in this world through our daily actions by the blood and the teaching of Jesus our Christ. Help those who are on our prayer list, those who have had surgery, and those who are recovering, those who are facing treatments, those who just have a hard time getting by in a difficult world as age and disease and time gets to us. Bless our congregation, we may serve you, Lord. Bless our nation, that we may make it strong and one of service. Be with the speaker this day, be with our military and our missionaries in foreign fields and all of our first responders. In Christ's name I pray, amen. They knew who he was, though the people in Colossae had never met Paul. He hadn't been there yet. He wrote them wanting to go there. It's an area still, though there's no town there anymore. It was on the main road at one time between Ephesus and Lystra. It was a commercial town. When the Romans took over, they made Ephesus to be a bigger town, and therefore Colossae got smaller and weak. But during the time of Paul, it was very important. More than likely, one of his Timothy or one someone like that had gone to the town and introduced Jesus the Christ to them, and they had been very strong and working hard. It was a growing congregation. Matter of fact, we will know later that the book of Philemon was written to one of the men in the church of Colossae. He had the runaway slave Onesimus, and Paul urged him to free him and let him serve Paul himself while he was in prison. Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter to them. It was frequent for him to write back and tell those of the churches how much he cared for them, how much God cared for them, and how much he wished well to them. Paul was in prison at least three times, we know, if not four, three times for sure in the book of Acts. And from there he would have time to write the letters, Rome and in Caesarea and then also in Jerusalem. And later on, he was also in prison in Ephesus. So we don't know which of the town he was in, but he took his time. He didn't sit around bemoaning what was going wrong. He kept himself busy when he was in prison. And Paul wanted some encouragement to them. You know, we, by nature, get discouraged. I imagine if that last, the one that just is now operating, had torn a hurricane and turned and come this way, we'd be a little bit frightened and upset and discouraged by it. I know that the people, if you watch on television, those that are from the Bahamas, still don't see daylight coming. When over 1,000 people are missing right now, and they can't find them, and don't know that they ever will. I mean, there are times in our life we're discouraged. We get discouraged when a loved one passes or hurts us. We get discouraged when we lose a job or get so old that, well, we get so experienced that they don't need us anymore. I'm sorry. I just turned 68 Thursday. I'm the old part seems to be coming a little faster than it used to be. I'm like Uncle Joe that moves kind of slow on Petticoat Junction. I feel that way some days, but we see those things going on. But Paul was an encourager, and he didn't bless them just from him. He blessed them from God. And you know, one of the old sayings that we used to have a lot of time when somebody would sneeze, did you ever say Gesundheit? I understand, though I'm not German, I understand that's German for God bless you. Well, Paul knew what he was saying. He did bless them. And they felt like that a blessing from Paul was extra strong. Let me tell you this. He called us his brothers and sisters. And a blessing from any one of us upon someone is just as equal as a blessing from the Apostle Paul. Because God listens to us. And he wants us to help others and to be concerned and share about others. We're going to be hearing fairly soon. Fairly soon about the children that were going to help with the boxes, the boxes with the Samaritan's Purse. That's a blessing to them. We're going to have some missionary speakers coming in next month. That's a blessing to them, for us to hear them and to bless their work. There's a lot of things we can be involved. Sometimes just a pat on the back and a smile and how you doing, a plastic bottle of water, if the plastic's not poison anymore. I don't know what they're doing with those plastic bottles, but it just makes someone feel good. We are a blessed nation. The 17th of this month, in other words, this upcoming week, on the 17th, is called Constitution Day. Do we realize how blessed we've been because we are part of the United States? It was on that day, back in 1783, that our Constitution was actually put into work and called us a free nation, a nation allowed to serve God and nature's creator, our God. So we have been a blessed nation. He says to this, we always thank God. Now, we means not just Paul himself, but others involved. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Would you not think? I hate to call him the leader of the church because Paul would never accept that, but the most scholarly person of all the apostles would be too busy to pray for us? The answer is, you can't be too busy to pray for somebody. And Paul says, when we pray for you, I think that means more than one time. And he's in prison now, more than one time. He's not praying he escapes from prison. He took it very well. God let him out several times, but he took it very well. And he was concerned about us. So little should we not think that our prayers don't matter, or that we are too busy to pray for them. Well, God knows what they want. He doesn't need us to tell him. God needs us to know that he wants us to love others. And that's part of that. He goes on. Because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all God's people. I grew up in church. And you know, sometimes the church songs when we were young were quite meaningful, maybe even more than some of the adult songs we sing. From my ordination service, I had this song. Jesus loves little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Paul, a Jew, and also of Roman heritage, is writing to a town that's in Turkey. Now in Turkey, it was part of the Grecian influence and was concerned about their lives and their souls and their happiness. What a stretch that was, but yet Paul knew that that's important and how we should care for others. And that's why we have the plastic. That's why we have the bottles to save the unborn children and give the education and help to the mothers. That's why we have two missionaries that we support quite well. That's why we do other things like the... Oh, they're all gone, I read them. The Loving Hands and what 14,000 or so articles that you all have produced and given to the different hospitals and nursing homes, because we know that if Paul thought it was important enough to care about others, so should we. He says this, the faith and love that springs from the hope stored up in you, up for you in heaven. You know, if you've got a book on you, if you do, you can turn to Colossians. I want to read this to you a little bit better than most of us. Just run over it too fast. Let's go all the way back to verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for God's people, comma, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you already heard the true message of the gospel comes to you. Hope and love that's already stored up for us in heaven. I mean, some of you have bank accounts. And some of you may even have retirement income and retirement accounts. And some of you got bottled water and Spam in the closet. Which is okay. If you got yellow mustard, you're doing just fine. And some of you have saved different things. But have you ever thought about the store in heaven that's for us? We're told in the book of Malachi, in the last chapter of the book, it talks about when would you rob God? You rob God with your tithes and offerings. go ahead and give what is due to you, and God will open up the gates, the store of the storehouse in heaven. God knows who we are, and He's got great plans for us. And often when we lose something out, it's because we haven't used it. Years and years and years ago, way back in the 1900s, for Christmas, I went to a store called McAlpin's and bought Becky a gift certificate. A card. Well, I took it and I hid it from myself. And Christmas came and gone. And a couple years later, I was cleaning out the hide it from myself drawer, and I found the gift card from McAlpin's, which had closed 2 years earlier. So somewhere stored up in a McAlpin's bank account, is the gift certificate for Becky. I don't know if she'll ever claim that one. It may be too far gone. But wouldn't it be a shame that when Christ did so much for us, that He built heaven for us, mansions it's called. I go prepare a place for you. And He's going to have to prepare a mansion for you. That's what it's called. If it were not so, I would have told you. Wouldn't it be a shame for us to say, I don't really think it's, I can't believe that. And why go through all these years of being nice and good and kind and being a believer if I really don't think it'll ever happen? What a shame that is to waste. And too often we waste opportunities. He can't be me. He can't mean me. He doesn't love me. He doesn't do anything for me. We can find out that, we may believe we're the wrong background, we're the wrong history, we're the wrong race, we're the wrong, whatever it is, we blame. Say, God doesn't love me. Well, it doesn't say that, does it? It says God loves all of His children. And I think we need to understand that we are something special because we are the sons and the daughters of God and the children, the brothers and sisters of Jesus the Christ. And that's a pretty high ranking where I come from, to be a brother or sister. He goes on. The faith and the love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you already heard in the true message of the gospel, verse 6, that has come to you. In the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it's been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. From the moment they heard and believed, great things were coming their way. They were going to benefit from it. And shouldn't we be the same way? Doubters miss out so much. I guarantee you, in your life, you can think back of an opportunity that you had and say, well, I really can't do that. I really shouldn't do that. I really don't want to do that. Or that really couldn't be for me. Now, the truth of the matter is, I'm a skeptic about a lot of stuff. I have not yet called the Publisher's Clearinghouse, so I get my $1,000 a day. I'm just not sure that's going to work that way. And all the lotteries that you promise and all the get-rich schemes, being a businessman, I have a company, and I get-rich schemes. We're going to loan you up to $150,000 for your business. I'm thinking, then you don't know me, or you wouldn't make that offer. But we turn things down. And we're very cautious. And at times, caution is very good. But yet at times, it costs us to be too cautious that we lose our opportunity. God is there, and He's given us great things. Being part of His family. Being forgiveness and grace. And we may say, well, I just don't. I lived too bad a life when I was younger. I didn't believe. I didn't accept it. I didn't take on what God was giving me when I was younger. Therefore, He doesn't care for me anymore. I can't find that anywhere in the Bible. But God gives up on us and doesn't welcome us in. Mr. Burns was his name. Mr. Burns actually owned the little country store that the Flim Flam Man was filmed in. It was his store where the guy did the punch cards. George C. Scott was in it. Mr. Burns had a faithful wife and two very faithful daughters to our church in Lexington Berea Christian Church. And then finally one day he started coming himself. Now he was 88 years old when he confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And was buried in the water grave of baptism. And he said, I'm so sorry I waited so long. And my answer was, I'm so glad you didn't wait any longer. That we just should not give up on what God has planned for us, thinking that we're not worthy or we don't have the time, because we don't know about those things. We go on and read You learned it from Erapus, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love for the Spirit. Do you ever communicate with somebody about your church and your God? I know specifically several of you are here because you were invited by somebody else. And you're like a Erapus who actually learned from Paul, but did Paul's work in going and starting the church there in Colossae. The gospel was spread. You do not have to be born into the church and be raised there all your life. You do not have to go to church of 1,500, 2,000, 5, 6, 8, 10,000 people, or have a preacher that writes books. This one here can barely read a book. You don't have to go to a church where the preachers write books or has all the sermons on the internet. All you've got to do is go to a church that teaches about God's love and preaches the truth about salvation. God's got enough fame and fortune for us, as the old timer would say, on the other side of the River Jordan. You ever heard that? You city folks, you ever heard of the other side of the River Jordan? She's from Kentucky. She knows exactly what I'm talking about. The other side of death. God's got the fame and fortune there. We don't need to create it here. He's ready for us. All he wants to do is reward us for our faith and obedience. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, verse 9, we have not stopped praying for you. Hallelujah. Do you have anybody who on your daily prayer list you cannot forget to pray for them? You would feel like it was an empty start of the day. Paul says, what did he say? We have not stopped praying for you. Now, knowing the people that Paul knew, that may have been an hour or two journey in his prayer time. That's okay. The writers in the first century said Paul spent so much time in prayer that his knees looked like that of a camel. Scarred, thick pads where he spent so much time on his knees praying. It's okay. It worked for him. It's a good example for us. And when we know of somebody in need, we need to share it and talk about it and pray for them. He goes on and says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives. Now, if you work with little children, and sometimes maybe adult men, Can we do this now? Are you ready to go? Are we there yet? Are we there? Over and over and over and over and over and asking. Continuing to say, I'll tell you, we'll be there when we get there. I'll tell you the answer. You know, it's one of those kind of like, it's a secret, but I won't tell you until later. Well, you keep asking anyway because you don't give up. God does not seem to mind us continually asking, does he? He doesn't get tired of the questions because he is glad to know that we think that he is. We know, let me change my words, that we know he is the supreme ruler and the leader of the world, and he does care about us. So we should not get tired of asking God because he has not gotten tired of listening and giving us the answer. Not always the answer we want, grant you that, but he gives us the answer. And that's good that we continue to do it. He goes on. It will fill you with the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. The Spirit. Now, there'll be mentioned a couple times in this book, this short letter. They had gotten into trouble because some other teachers had come along and tried to teach them about spiritualism. And they were beginning to say that we should worship angels, not just God. Though angels were created beings, and God from the beginning and Jesus from the beginning were always there, and the Holy Spirit too, but to worship angels and other created beings. This sort of mysticism worked in because they felt like if they could weaken the gospel and the message and the meaning, it would begin to be less and less important to the people. I have never had a cup of coffee and don't intend to start at this age. It may keep me awake at night. But I've seen people say, you want to warm up. You ever heard that term, you want to warm up on that? The coffee's gotten cold and you refresh it a little bit with some hot coffee and it sort of makes it work better. I was at a dinner recently and I drink hot tea. I like hot tea. I don't know why. I'm not British or anything. I was drinking hot tea, and it sat there, and it was so hot at first that you had to put water in it. Well, you know what happens when you put cold water in hot tea? yet weak warranty, which isn't good either. I asked her, I said, can I have another pot of tea? She said, well, you got a whole cup left over. I said, yes, ma'am, but it's so cold I could have ice skaters on it. You know, it just wouldn't work. Refresh it. Make it strong. Make it vibrant. Be powerful with it. Don't go for weakness, but go for the full speed. Try everything you can. He goes on to say, so that you may live life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Don't give up. Expect a lot. Because if we don't expect God to do it for us, then we don't give Him the credit that He can do. And then we don't need to pray. Those are our problems. He wants us to have endurance. Now, I like to watch the Olympics for about 10 minutes. And you can watch all the Olympics in about 10 minutes if you stick with the 100-yard dash and the 100-yard swim and those really short ones. Now, those guys that can run 100 yards, they're cool, and the ladies, and they're fast. Marathon, 26.5 miles or 26.6 miles. And y'all ever run a marathon? I don't even like to drive that far. That takes endurance. And when you do it, you do get stronger. But the race seems to be longer. Our life is an endurance race. Basically, we're like the TV show. Which one? I forgot. Survivor, that's the one. And we survive one thing, then another thing, then another thing. And they're not always easy. Sometimes it's even hard to survive the good things. I can't believe that's happening to me. Thursday was Jeff and my birthday. And I got two cards, but I got about 40 tweets, whatever a tweet is. A message. It's a message. I don't know what it is. I got one from a girl that I had taught in a church in 1981. And she remembered me. I was trying to remember her. So, we have diligence. We bear good fruit. Do you ever bear bad fruit? Do you ever have a tree that just, a orange tree that went back to the wild, or a lemon tree really bad about doing it, where the roots overtook the top part and they weren't very good to eat? There's a lot of things like that. We're to bear good fruit. Blessings and happiness and satisfaction and service. And by doing so, we grow in the knowledge of God. I will really hope to say that in the years that we have been here with you all, that you know more than you did when you first came and when I first came, that we grow and get better at it. I spoke yesterday at a big meeting for the Constitution Day. And I had people come in and say, I've been in American history. I've studied this. I never heard that. I said, neither did I until I started studying. And there's a lot of things we don't know about God because we've not studied Him enough. A lot of things we don't know about Jesus because we've not studied Him enough. A lot of things we don't know about the Holy Spirit because we've not challenged any of them enough to let them work within us. It is in the book of Acts. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But so often we don't call about strength from God's Spirit in our lives. Now, in Corinth and Colossians, they were doing bad. They were giving all to the spirits. They were giving all to the angels. They were giving all to supernatural things, and they were not giving it to Jesus. That was a losing event, and he's trying to correct them on that. We go on in verse 12. Giving joyful thanks to the Father who qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of life. God qualified you? You ever try to get qualified in something? Maybe you want to be a real estate agent. You have to get qualified to be a real estate agent or whatever task it is. You have to take tests. You have to study or do an apprenticeship. God's qualified us. Now, how does He qualify us? Well, He really doesn't give us a written test. He gives us a living test. And the challenges that is in our life that we need to overcome the hardships with His help. And the opportunities we need to take advantage of with His help. Well, he doesn't need me. If he wants me to get me, if he doesn't, he doesn't have to. I don't really care. I've heard that from people. That's really not his way, is it? He'll qualify us. On the back of your bulletin each week is printed the process of salvation. Hearing the gospel, believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. It's not that hard. It's not a PhD. It's an READ is what it is. And we don't always take advantage of it. We go on. The Father qualified you to share the inheritance of His holy people. The inheritance. So we already talked about the gifts in heaven. That's there. Again, inheritance from the holy people of His holy people in the kingdom of light. Light. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I guarantee you, there's 83 in here right now. At least 20 or 25 of you were scared of the dark when you were growing up. There would be somebody behind the door, the boogeyman underneath the bed. You know, Mama, don't turn the light off. Leave the bathroom light on. I didn't do that because I was scared. I just didn't do that because I didn't want to stub my foot going to the bathroom in the middle of the night. But we worry about things that we don't need to worry about. We need to be positive of these things. For God, listen to this. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. Most murder mysteries and all these type of things seem to happen at night in the darkness. You never notice that? Where there's no light to see what's going on. Jesus is the light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And He was the light of the world. And when we're afraid of the darkness, so we can take that as physical darkness, I think it can also be spiritual darkness. The evil of the world. And we talk about those 20, I think it was 27 children that were killed up there in the school. That's evil. That's darkness. The things we read about in the foreign countries that abuse our Christians and our missionaries that try to wipe out the Jews and all those who believe in God, that's darkness, all brought to us by the devil, the Satan himself. Let's get away from the darkness and get into the light. And brought to us by the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. See, there's the promise right there. Through Jesus. Not through memorizing phrases, not through memorizing the whole books of the Bible, if you wish, not from any kind of special action you do, except allowing God to give you forgiveness. That's where it comes from. That's salvation. That's not only your challenge, but that's also your opportunity. If there's someone here now that is not proclaiming Jesus as their Savior, if there's someone here now that feels empty and left out because they don't know the words of God, you can come forward and make the good confession, be buried in baptism. Catch me, one of the leaders, one time, and we'll talk about it and learn about it and grow. Our hymn of invitation, decision.